Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today, I have another award winner, the Circle of Joy award winner. And I'm really happy to have him here with us because his perspective, I think, is quite interesting on gratitude because he's a monk. But he's not the kind of monk that you think about that only lives in a monastery. But he's a monk in the world, and I think that's quite amazing. And I'm really curious what wisdom he can bring in this discussion about gratitude. So, Brother Jeremiah, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Georgie, and thank you so much for welcoming me. Thank you for the opportunity. This really is an honor and a real privilege for me. So thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about yourself. We talked a little bit in the beginning before hitting record, and I think that's such a beautiful way of seeing yourself and of talking about yourself. So let us know a little bit more about you.
Sure. I'd be happy to share a little bit about my story. Well, my family's from Puerto Rico. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which are in the northeastern section of the United States, for those of you who aren't from my country. But being Puerto Rican, my upbringing was kind of centered around two very key things, family and faith. Very family oriented. My immediate family isn't so large. There's mom, dad, and two siblings, three boys. I'm the youngest of the three. And my dad passed away 9 years ago. And so we have mom still with us, who's 83 years old.
Wow.
And and I've become her caregiver. My dad died of Alzheimer's, and it was a very long and arduous process, you know, just watching someone slowly fade away the way that he did. And she so heroically took care of him. She really did. It was just amazing. I don't know how she found the strength to do what she did. In my eyes, she was a hero. and he passed away. She was able to be with him when he did, you know, breathe his last breath, which I thought was a great gift for her. And now she's, you know, kind of gone downhill over the years. She's declined in her physical health and also with her mental health. I think with the death of my father, her husband of over 50 years, she kind of fell into a depression, and along with that, her physical health also began to kind of go downhill a little bit. So I always think about the wonderful care that she gave to my father. And I thought, well, it's only fitting that, you know, we return the favor, you know, and now that she's up in years and can't live independently, I've taken on the role of being her primary caregiver, which has its challenges, but also is, I think, a great blessing. So our immediate family isn't so large, but our extended family is huge. my mom had 8 brothers and sisters, and my father had 12.
Wow.
So, and along with, you know, their kids and their families, I mean, you can imagine, like, how vast the extended family is. And we're very close, very united too over the years. I have fond memories of my childhood, you know, around holidays, especially, you know, families getting together, and somebody would always offer to host an event, a gathering. And I just remember, like, we were like squashed like sardines in one person's house, you know, but just remember the laughter and the good times and the food. I mean, I think being Puerto Rican is just like, we just love food. And we had a bunch of great cooks in my family. My mom was a great cook, and not because they're family members, but because they truly were amazing, amazing cooks. So our gatherings always centered around just good times, a lot of laughter, a lot of closeness, and a lot of really, really good food. And I like to think that maybe, you know, some of that is running through my veins too, because I have this great love for cooking. I'm not, you know, I never went to culinary school or never had any culinary training, but just from what I learned over the years, I just love to be in the kitchen. I love to prepare meals, and I love to share them with others. So some of that has rubbed off on me. But along with the family thing, the faith thing was also very important in our family. I grew up in a very devout, very religious home, and And that had its pluses and minuses, right? On the plus side, a lot of very good values were instilled in me over the years. We went to church as a family every Sunday together. And I have memories of us as a family praying together at home at nighttime. So those were very positive things. But on the minus side, you have the whole baggage around organized religion, right? And I think I've been able to come to a better understanding or realization of that in my older years. Not something I could appreciate in my younger days, but with organized religion comes the whole idea that you can't think for yourself. You're told what is right, you're told what is wrong. Your moral standards, your ethical standards, the standards of living are kind of set out for you. There's expectations of who you are supposed to be. And I guess being the goody two-shoes that I was growing up, I bought into that, hook, line, and sinker as truth. And I really, tried to do the right thing. I tried to follow this path that was set out for me. And I lived to please others. I tried to make everybody happy. And, I tried to live up to everybody else's expectations of me, the church's expectations of me, my culture's expectations of me, my family's expectations of me, society's expectations of me. Yeah. And, in the end, I failed, I couldn't live up to all that stuff perfectly, And, I think over time that began to kind of really tax on me a little bit. Didn't work out for me too well. And for me, I think what it led to in my later years and even in my earlier years, I just feel like I lived a life that was somewhat plagued with guilt and shame and anxiety and even depression. I don't think I ever got to a point where I was clinically depressed, but I just remember just not being very happy with my life. In fact, I even remember just hating my life, and very few people around me would have known that, because I was able to put on my game face and I have this happy-go-lucky way about me. And so very few people really knew what was going on inside. But inside, I really feel like I was just really dying. Georgian, about 8 years ago, I had a series of events that took place in my life that I'd rather not get into right now. But there were a number of things that took place about 8 years ago that really transformed my life. It was an experience that did for me what I wasn't able to do for myself. It woke me up. It woke me up to the fact that this isn't the way to live, that I was really kind of dying, so that opened the door for me, a number of doors for me. It opened the door to some really good therapy. And I met up with a therapist that was recommended to me, who's excellent. I love her. She's this like older Jewish woman who's so wise. So she's like a grandmom, in many ways. So she really, really was a big help to me. And in fact, I still see her to this day. I just think therapy is something that all of us could benefit from at some point or other if we can tap into it, But that opened the door to just a lot of introspection, a lot of looking into myself, discovering the gifts that I bring to this world, accepting myself. It really began the process of really starting to love myself, for once in my life. And at that point, I abandoned the religion of my upbringing. And as I was experiencing healing in other areas of my life, there was still this void, my spiritual life. Like, what do I do with this? I just felt like there was this kind of black hole, this spiritual void within that kept gnawing at me. And but I continued my process of, healing and growing. And eventually, my search brought me to this ecumenical order of charity that I now belong to. And basically, we're just a group of monks. But, as we mentioned before, not in the traditional sense. We're men and women from, different parts of the country, different parts of the world even. I mean, we have, at the present time, we have two members in Brazil. We have a member in Australia. We have, I believe we have a member in Mexico, and then different parts of the U.S. And we come from all walks of life. We're not all vowed celibates. Some of us are married. Some of us are single. Some of us are partnered. And basically, we traditionally, to be a monk, you had to separate yourself from the world, right? You gave up your life in the world, and you gave up your family, your career, and you would live behind the walls of a monastery and dedicate your life to community and to prayer and to silence and to work behind the walls of a monastery. Well, we're not those kind of monks. In fact, there's a movement that's kind of growing this day and age. It's called the new monasticism, and we kind of embody that. Instead of separation, we're more about integration. You know, we're more about...
I love that.
Yeah, we're more about integrating what is beautiful about the monastic life, you know, the prayer life, the spiritual practices, the devotions, the reflection, the contemplation, and integrating that into our active lifestyles, you know, whatever careers we're in, whatever family situations we find ourselves in. We integrate those spiritual practices with our daily life, and we stay in our own homes, and we have our own families, and we live our own lives. And yet we are a community that still comes together. You know, we meet once a year at what's called General Assembly, where our headquarters is out in Wichita, Kansas. And so we meet for a week together as a community. And throughout the year, we have, you know, Google Hangouts. We have a website, and on the website, there's a community room and a foundation room where we can host meetings. And so we come together once or twice a month to kind of catch up with each other and check in on each other, and, you know, via, you know, technology, right? Via email and social media. There's so many ways that we can stay connected with one another, but we continue to live our lives with our families. And it's really kind of cool. You know, you get the best of both worlds. You know, you want to be a monk, you don't have to leave the world. You can stay in the world and just incorporate and integrate the beauty of the monk lifestyle into your daily living. So that's kind of what we're about. And, you know, we have a founding document. And as I began my search and researching this particular community, their founding document just really touched my heart. It just kind of spoke to me of what I really was looking for spiritually, you know. And this document basically sums up who we are and what we are about. And in a very simple nutshell, what this community is about is just like being mindful of and accepting this great love of our God. You know, God loves us immensely, unconditionally, you know, and to just accept that and to celebrate that, and then to try as best we can to share it with those around us. You know, we're called to take advantage of any opportunities that, you know, are before us to alleviate, you know, the sufferings of others, however small or great it might be. So that's basically what our community is about. And we take vows as traditional monks do. And this was the one thing that really spoke to me when I read the founding document. There was a vow of obedience. And, you know, in traditional terms, that vow is about, you know, being obedient to or being subject to someone who's in authority, you know, whether it's the I forget what the titles are now in traditional monasteries. I guess you have like an abbot or whatever that you would kind of, you know, vow obedience to. Well, for us, the vow of obedience is not about subjecting ourselves to someone else. It's about being true to our inner authority.
I love that.
To just really kind of look within and see the spirit's movement in our life and see what, you know, what that spirit is leading us to, what that spirit is guiding us to, and to just be true to ourselves, you know, to just listen to that inner voice and to be obedient to it. You know, as we journey through this thing we call life. So when I read that really spoke to me, because for me, obedience just carries so much ugly baggage, right? You know,
exactly.
You have to, you know, in organized religion, you have to be obedient to, you know, the dogmas of your faith and the doctrines of your faith. And if you're not obedient, oh, well, you know, you're going to hell. With this community, that's not the case. And that was so refreshing for me to discover and to read about. And that's what really appealed to me. So this past year has been a really beautiful year. You know, I met up with this community last year, somewhere in the middle of 2017. And towards the end of the year, the beginning of 2018, I was received into the community as a postulant. And then in June, I had the privilege of attending my first General Assembly with the community in Wichita, Kansas. And there I was received into the community as a novice. So I'm in my novitiate year now, and I meet regularly with my novice master, and, you know, we're doing all kinds of good work and spiritual reading and, you know, discerning and reflecting and growing in, you know, this identity that we call monkhood.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think you've gotten to some very interesting points, and I think there are things that you've mentioned that many of our listeners have went through, like the fact that we need to be in a certain way, the fact that we are, like religion demands us to be in a certain way, whether it feels good to us or not. And that leads to a lot of anxiety and many mental health issues. And yes. I think that's an important part that you spoke about, that I think it's really powerful. And I'm always about empowering people. And I think this is a really important part of feeling empowered, the fact that you take into consideration what you feel, even though there are things that might make you feel bad or something else. The thing that I wanted to get to also is, how did you start the gratitude habit, and how did you get to write every day for so many days?
Well, you know, journaling in itself was something I was exposed to and introduced to many, many years ago. You know, as I mentioned, you know, growing up in a very religious home, going to church on a weekly basis, I got involved in my church youth ministry program. And I went on a retreat when I was around maybe 15, 16 years old. And on that retreat experience, we were introduced to the practice of journaling. And I'm not sure why, but I really took to it. I really, really thought, wow, this is awesome. And so I began the process, or the practice of journaling back then. I don't do it every day, but for a long period of time, I went through a nice stretch of time where I would journal on a daily, if not every other day basis. And so I have like tons of notebooks filled with journal entries from, you know, from my teen years, which is pretty cool to kind of pick them up and read through and see where where I was, you know, so many years ago.
Yeah.
But but the practice of journaling, so, you know, kind of began back then. And I've noticed that it's a really wonderful and helpful thing for me when I'm going through difficult moments in my life. Like I just find the process of sitting down and putting pen to paper and, you know, making myself articulate what it is that I'm going through, and just, it just brings some clarity to the situation. And I find it very therapeutic, you know, so I love the practice. And of course, becoming a monk, you know, there are some disciplines that you need to develop. You know, you can't be a monk if you're not praying on a regular basis, if you're not, you know, engaging in some kind of spiritual practice on a daily basis. And so What I've developed is that for me, like, early morning is the best. I love beginning my day. I like to get up a good 3 hours or so before my first commitment, to give myself the time I need to have a little me time, you know, to have quiet time, reflection, meditation. I've taken to meditating the last several months as well, which has been very, very fruitful for me. And somewhere along the line in that process, I discovered this gratitude app. I think I may have even just Googled, you know, apps on gratitude. And that was back in October. And this gratitude app came up. And so I downloaded it and opened it up, and I really loved it. I just took to it very, very quickly. I just love the way it's set up. I love that it's a community of people that come together to celebrate gratitude together. I love the reflections that, you know, each day you're given, that kind of hone in on a particular area of life that, you know, we might need to express a little gratitude around, or celebrate some gratitude around. I love the fact that every day there's a quote, which is, you know, very inspiring and thought provoking. And I also love the medallions. I think the medallions are great. You know, like, after a certain period of time of doing it, you're awarded a certain medallion. And so you move up to a certain level, and the app celebrates your moving forward in this gratitude journey. But that's how I discovered this app. And, you know, I want to think that I've always been a somewhat grateful person. But I think what this app has done for me over the last several months is it's just made me, it's just made me more mindful. It's made me a lot more mindful. It's more intentional. It's more deliberate, as opposed to just kind of haphazard. Oh, you know, you have your grateful moments. I think what the app is really cultivating in me is a need to just, you know, be grateful like every moment of every day. Like there's so much that, you know, I can look back in my life and just think of so many things that I took for granted and didn't really celebrate the gratitude around that I should have. And I think I would devote or dedicate a lot more energy to the negative stuff in my life and what didn't go so well or what I didn't have, as opposed to what I feel now this app cultivates in me, which is, you know, the gratitude for all things, the smallest things, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's happening for me, and I'm loving it. I really am loving it. I love to, you know, go into the app and see what the other members of the community are posting and what they're grateful for. And you can like, you know, their post, and you can comment on their post, and they like yours and they comment on yours. And I think that is just a great motivator. You know, it really kind of encourages and motivates and inspires me to continue coming back. So part of my spiritual practice in the morning involves opening up the app. In fact, it's one of the first things I do to start my day. I open the gratitude app to see, you know, what the thought is for the day and what the quote is for the day. And it kind of set the tone for the day. Like throughout the day, I'll try to harken back to that reflection and how, you know, just reflect on what that means to me and how that relates to my life and my experience and to kind of, you know, celebrate gratitude around that. And I also have this one practice that I developed where I don't let my day end without checking in with someone and sharing with them at least three things that I'm grateful for that particular day. Mm. So I have a friend that, you know, kind of, we got into this pact together and we made a commitment to one another that we don't go to sleep that night until we check in with each other and share with each other at least three, if not more, things that day that we're grateful for. So that's what's kind of happening with, and the app just kind of inspired that and has really helped me in that.
Wow, that's such a great idea. I love it. The fact that it's shared, the fact that it's with someone that's really close, I think that makes it even more powerful. And sure. I love that. And I wanted to get to something. I think this part is really important. Pardon, especially for people that think they should, but don't know actually how to get into the practice of gratitude and how to find their actual motivation. Like, I believe that the fact that we are guilted into practicing gratitude doesn't work.
Right.
How did you make the switch? Because I know it's recommended in spiritual circles to do this, and some people don't recommend it, but actually make other people do it. You know,
right. I think for me, it's just the fruits that come from it. You know, just in the last few months alone, just being mindful about just all the good stuff that comes our way and all the blessings, and you know, and I know that sounds kind of trite, but it's so true. Like I just that mindfulness and being aware, it just creates in me a sense of just deeper satisfaction with life. It there's a contentment, there's even a happiness and a joy that comes from just, you know, focusing more on gratitude. That's been my experience, and that for me is a motivator. Like I like feeling that way. I like experiencing a little more joy in my life. I like feeling that I'm more blessed. And I think the intentional act of every day and throughout the day, just thinking about like what I need to be grateful for, what is happening in my life that I need to say thank you for and celebrate. Like that, just the fruits of that are just really amazing. And that's a big motivator for me.
Oh, so basically you've seen the effects of gratitude in your life and you wanted to enhance that and to make it into a practice, and you felt motivated seeing the results that you're already having, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. I love that. I think it's inner motivation is the strongest. And I think that when we do something out of a good feeling rather than guilt is much more powerful and much more probable to resist in time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what are some things that you write in your gratitude journal? Like, what are you grateful for? Of course, things that you can share with us.
Sure.
Because I think it can be interesting for our listeners to get some ideas.
Sure, sure. And again, like I said earlier, it's not always like, it doesn't have to be extraordinary, you know, earth-shattering stuff. Here's an example. And I really think that this is, again, the fruits of just the practice and what this app has inspired in me. But just yesterday, I was riding to work. I was in the car, and it was a beautiful day. You know, it's wintertime here, so it's a little crisp in the air. It's cold, but it was a beautiful blue sky. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it just was a sunny day, bright blue sky, crisp, cold outside. And it just seemed so beautiful. I remember, in fact, I took at a red light, I took a snapshot of the sky, and I posted that. I posted that on the app yesterday, and I just expressed gratitude for the beautiful morning sky that I encountered this morning on my way to work. So something that simple, you know, it could be a meal that I enjoyed with loved ones. You know, it could be. You know, an encounter at work, you know, where, you know, I got into a conversation with someone. It just really led to just a beautiful exchange and just being grateful for that exchange, you know. The simplest things, and I know for me, like, this is kind of new in many ways, but just like the air we breathe, you know, like the gifts of Mother Earth, like, we have this clean air that we breathe in every day and we're breathing throughout the day. And sometimes, I know I just could take that for granted, you know, and not appreciate the fact that, like, I can breathe and the earth is providing me with this wonderful oxygen for me to breathe. Like, I need to be, you know, express gratitude to Mother Earth for that. It's stuff like that, you know. And I mean, there are big moments, of course, you know, perhaps, you know, celebrations and birthdays or holidays and the fun that goes around that. But, you know, a lot of times it's just around, you know, good times with good people. It's around cooking experiences where something really turned out really good and people liked it and just grateful, you know, grateful for that. And, you know, even caring for my mother, you know, and it has its challenges. It's not an easy thing to be a caregiver, but there are moments where I think to myself, well, I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to be for my mom what she was to me for so many years growing up, you know, and it's nice to be able to return the favor to her. And it's things like that I write about in the app when I journal about gratitude.
Wow, these are some amazing ideas, and I am totally with you with the breathing part, because I'm just recovering from a cold, and for a few days, thankfully, it went away really fast. For a few days I wasn't able to smell, like, the smell of fresh air, and I wasn't able to breathe properly because I was always with tissues around. And afterwards, today when I went outside, it was amazing, like, to smell the fresh air. It's winter here as well, and it's that smell of winter, but also it's snowed, and the smell of snow as well. It's such a unique smell, and it was amazing to just be able to smell that. Like, it's something really simple. Like, we do it every day, but it's so amazing.
But I find when we do it mindfully, like, it's so invigorating, it's so life-giving, it's so nurturing. It's like when we can put our mindfulness to those very simple little things, like, it just takes that experience to a whole other, you know, wonderful level, I think.
Exactly, exactly. So, what do you recommend our listeners to do if they are in a situation where they feel guilty about things that they should be doing, they're not following their what they feel, and I know you've been through that situation and you've managed to come through and to live a life that you're grateful for. And I think it can be really interesting for our listeners too.
I think, you know, we need other people in our lives. That's number one. And that's been a blessing for me, just to be surrounded by, you know, like I spoke about my therapist and what a wonderful gift she is to me. And she has been to me and continues to be. You know, I have good friends. I have family, you know, that surround me that I know love me and I love them. And so I think whenever I find myself struggling with something that I need to do that I'm not having a very good time in doing, I'm struggling with, for me, what works is just, you know, getting an accountability partner, you know, finding someone that I can talk to and say, look, you know, I'm kind of struggling with this one particular area of my life. Can you be my accountability partner? You know, can I check in with you every day as to how I'm doing with this? And I give you permission to like kick me in the butt if you need to kind of, you know, get me moving in the direction that I say I want to move in. So I find that's very helpful. You know, just turning to loved ones, to the good people in our lives that, you know, have our well-being in mind, you know, and to just kind of ask them to help us, you know, and to kind of move us in a direction that we're having a little difficulty maybe moving ourselves in.
Wow, that's such a great idea. And by the way, since we're nearing the end of our time together, who would you like to express your gratitude for in your life?
Oh, wow. What a question. There's so many people. I'm always afraid to single out anybody because you don't want to forget anyone. But I guess yeah. For me, you know, I mean, I have my family, of course, that I'm very grateful to. And, you know, my dad who continues to watch over us from his place. And, you know, my two older brothers and my mom now who's, you know, still herself. You know, she still has her wits about her and she's still, you know, with us. You know, she has her ailments and stuff like that, but you can still converse with her and chat with her and have fun with her. So I'm grateful, you know, for my family. It's not a perfect family, but it's my family, you know, and I'm very appreciative of it.
I love that.
And then I have what I call my family of choice. You know, there are a certain number of people in my life that are not blood related, but, you know, in my mind and in my heart, they've earned the right to be family, you know, and those people know who they are. They are the people who have been by me, you know, have seen me through like the most difficult times of my life and have continued to love me and encourage me. And they really keep me going. And just even saying those words just kind of fills me up with a lot of emotion because I have a deep love for them. And so my family of choice is like so, so very important to me. And they're the ones that I, you know, inflict the burden of, you know, tasting my culinary creations. But more often than not, they love it. So so my family of choice is really important to me. And I have to mention my ecumenical order of charity, my companions, my spiritual family. They are really an answer to prayer for me. You know, they have helped me to find a home, you know, a spiritual home that I've been, you know, that I've been seeking. And I kind of, I guess, belong to a spiritual home that wasn't really a fit for me for so many years. And it's so nice to kind of finally find a place that I can say, this is home, this is where I belong. And I don't feel judged and I don't feel guilted and I don't feel put down, but I'm just accepted for who I am. And we share these values together of striving, you know, to grow in our spiritual life and our union with the All Holy and to try to be an instrument of, you know, the All Holy's love, you know, in the world with the people that we meet and the people that we surround ourselves with and the people that we come across day to day. So my ecumenical order of charity companions are very, very important to me. And I don't know, I guess, of course, God, you know, my higher power, the All Holy, whatever names we might have for him. That's been a constant in my life, even through my struggles with religion. Like, I really feel that, my God has always been there for me and he's always seen me through the roughest of situations. And I really have had some very powerful experiences of his love and his, presence in my life. So, I'm so grateful to have that gift of this higher power, this God in my life. So I think if I had to name the people that I'm most grateful for, that's my list. I hope I didn't forget anybody.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I really appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to tell us all of these beautiful things about them. And I think that gets us thinking about the people in our life that we appreciate and that have made an impact. Thank you
Sure.
so much for being here with us and for accepting the invitation. And congratulations for being the Circle of Joy Award winner.
Georgian, thank you so much. Really, this was a wonderful experience for me. I loved you. I love your podcast. I've listened to a
Thank
number of
you.
your interviews and programs, and just thank you for the opportunity to be among those who can converse with you and be interviewed by you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.